we have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four! I didn't think you got me this good, but it feels good!
First, I need that national championship.
Welcome on in, everyone, to the boardroom. Maddie here, alongside Josh, Johnny, and Sam. And we're recording this game as it still is going on here, bragging rights. It's 90-68. I know it's a podcast, so you can't see us, but if you could see us, this is what broken men look like. We're down bad, guys.
Yeah, that was one of the most depressing losses.
This is currently still going on as one of the most depressing. Let me go ahead and just correct you there, real quick, Johnny. I know your back is faced to the TV, yeah, so you don't see what's going on. We're at the free throw line, so we're looking to cut it. Nope, we missed.
Yeah, at this point, just broken. Mourning how brutal of a loss that was. Josh, we had talked about how the last time we recorded after the Texas game, Illinois had been in every single game for essentially, I don't know, a full year almost. And between Penn State and this game, and especially this game, we just got blown out. And it's legitimately depressing.
Yeah, I could put the blame on us, but it seems like the players are putting the blame on each other, the coaches, and it's not been looking good ever since that Penn State game. It seems like there's just been like a disconnect between every single person in that locker room right now. And like, we haven't talked about it on the podcast. We haven't talked about it as a group because I think we're kind of like ignoring it, where we don't want it to be the case and we just want our guys to be happy with each other. But yeah, there's something fishy going on right now. And it's like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like so weird as a fan, like just figure it out, like do something. We haven't seen this before.
Yeah. I mean, so it's a 22 point game right now, which that does not even tell the tale of how bad it was. I'm just trying to reflect as like a fan, not even an Illinois fan, as a sports fan myself, of like, just how many worse losses have there been as like a sports fan, like in your fandom? I think of like a Bear. What was that Bears Packers game where it was like 35-0 at halftime, where it's just like the wind is out of the sails like so quickly in the game. This is up there with that, I think.
Yeah, and it's just so hard because you were a ranked team favored to win in this game, and you just gave up 51 points in the first half.
Yeah, personal story here. I'm a Tennessee Titans fan. I was in New England when we lost 63-0. And I told my dad at halftime that I'm not going in until the Titans score. The Titans didn't score that game, obviously, given the final score. Yeah, this is up there with that game as just a brutal loss, given that it's I'm not feeling the snow right now. I'm not outside. It's a little less depressing, but yeah, it's up there.
Is this like, where does this rank for you guys in terms of like, just, I'm trying to think back to like most, like that was just a terrible effort, like terrible performance, not like heartbreaking, just like that was absolute, like
such
Iowa
a letdown.
Garbage.
Yeah.
Such a letdown.
Iowa football game that one year.
63. Yeah. Thing. That's 60. Up there. Yeah. That's
up there.
Like football and basketball are so just different to compare though. That's like true. Basketball, seeing the body language and the players' emotions when they're not wearing helmets, and I don't know, sometimes football, it's just like you're so physically outmanned, like the other team just has a better line than you and there's nothing you can do. This is just like, you can see the level of intensity from Missouri that we lacked. And honestly, I feel like a lot needs to be held accountable on Brad. He's not been able to understand how to motivate this team. Clearly, there's been a rift between the past few games. And it's like, okay, cool. How many times are you going to do the yelling or the silent treatment or whatever, where it's like, you need your guys to get up for these games?
I guess at a certain point, you have to ask the question, though. And again, I know, understand a lot of this is conjecture that we aren't in the locker room. And I agree. It ultimately, it's on the coaches to motivate their guys. But at a certain point, if you're like an 18 to 22-year-old guy, like playing Division I basketball on a scholarship, like you can't have a problem with motivation, right? Like, you don't, you shouldn't be relying on your coach to motivate you. If you're relying on your coach to motivate you, you got a problem, I think. And I know that with the youth of this team, that most of these guys haven't been involved in this rivalry. Like, the announcers were talking about, like Brad's been a part of this rivalry for more than anyone, aside from, like, Chester Frazier on the Illinois sideline. So they don't know what it's like. But I don't know, man. If you got a, if you're a college basketball player, if you're a college athlete and you're struggling with motivation, I feel like that's a different issue. But yes, at the end of the day, it's always going to fall.
Who recruited those players, though? Like,
of course, it falls on the coaching staff. But like, you got to get up for these games, and I think that's on the players.
I don't know. This could have been something that eventually works in the long run, but like, your coach farted at you. Like, that's so disrespectful. And Sam's going to say it wasn't an actual fart. It was a fart noise. That's his joke line that he's been going on with. But, like, you, like, don't – I feel like it has to be more about respect on the players. Like, I understand putting it on the players, but it's definitely way more on the coaches, way more on the coaching staff to not have them play hard. Like, it seems like the system that they were, like, brought in to do this specific year, like, is just not working, switching on everything. Having an outside in shooting team, like, where we're only shooting threes and we're not driving to the lane. Like, it just seems like the whatever scheme we're doing is not working, and that's more coaches on top of them not be, like, going the extra effort for a rebound or trying for that extra steal or doing something in order to get a stop on defense. It's definitely more on the coaches.
We're definitely, aside from Sincere Harris, we're definitely lacking an offensive spark too. I feel like off the bench, you have Ty Rogers not really producing anything offensively, since you're more of a defensive guy. Like, aside from Jaden Maps, it's really hard to, like, get anything when you're, like, in this lull, which is, I feel like, adds to the frustration too.
And you don't have any veteran guards, right? Like, at the end of the day, you're going to have clunky performances when you're, like, in some ways primary ball handler is 6'11" Coleman Hawkins. Like, Coleman played not well. He also shot 0-for-6 from 3. Shannon shot 0-for-5 from 3. Like, we don't have a veteran guard. It's Sky Clark, it's Jaden Epps, and once again, I think that kind of falls on the staff for their roster construction. And Maddie, you're talking about, like, oh, Brad's been in this rivalry longer than anyone. Well, he's 2-4 against Missouri.
Yeah,
like,
no excuses.
That's really bad.
No excuses.
And we've been better than them almost every year, and yet we still, time after time, find a way to not be locked in for this game.
No, I am not trying to, like, clear Brad Underwood, and you know, if you kind of want to relate this parallel to, like, coaching in big games, like in the tournament, where it's like, all right, you got out coached, you got out X's and O's. I think this is a similar type mentality where it's like, you get to the tournament, doesn't matter what the seeds are. You get to a rivalry game, it doesn't matter. You throw away the rankings, and, you know, kind of shit the bed a little bit. So I'm not trying to abstain Underwood of any, like, blame, but what I am trying to say is, man, if you're a college basketball player, you shouldn't have a hard time getting up. I'm not here to play devil's advocate, but I just want to respond to Josh, what you said of kind of, like, again, shitting on our scheme a little bit, which I think is fair, but at the same time, which is the real Illinois team? Is it the team that beat Texas? Is it the team that beat UCLA, that played Maryland on the road down the stretch? Or is it the team that just lost by 25 to Mizzou and that lost by double digits to Penn State? Or is it somewhere in the middle? Because, look, there's going to be a hard recency bias right now because we're feeling it right now. And I'm not trying to say that we are the team that beat ranked UCLA or we are the team that beat number 2 Texas. But at the same time, you can't be like, we are only the team that lost to Mizzou and we're not the team that beat Texas.
Totally fair. Totally fair. My one response to that, in both of those games for UCLA and Texas, we found ourselves in a massive hole that we had to come back from. And so we relied on a late run in order to win those games.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's clear the identity of this team when they're playing well is when they're playing good defense. Like, we went on long runs against UCLA and Texas because we made them look bad. And you gave up 93 points to Missouri. Like, we didn't play defense at all. And, like, it's easy to point to the missed shots or the turnovers. And honestly, the turnovers contributed quite a bit to Missouri getting out on the run. And once they took the lead,
points
they were just so
turnovers.
Confident. Yeah, exactly.
Like 20-0.
Exactly. Exactly. But it's also like you need a more efficient half court offense. So you're not just turning the ball over or taking last second threes. And obviously you'd like to be shooting the three better. There were some open threes that they missed, but that's not a one-time thing with this team. That's what happened at Penn State. That's what happened at other games too. I don't know. I agree. They're not like the worst team like we just saw.
They're none of the extremes. Yes. They're not the team that beat Texas or UCLA. They're probably – that's college basketball, is that on any given night. Unfortunately, that's the frustration of it. You're probably not this team, but you're this team tonight. And that's fair to say that tonight you got stomped, you got out-coached, you got – I mean, the effort, right? Like, just forget everything that we said about, you know, scheme or missing threes. If you don't know anything about basketball, which is – us, you could look at the effort, right? All you need to see was Mizzou's up 30 and they're still playing with an unbelievable amount of effort. That's all you needed to look at. Then you factor in the fact that, you know, they were playing sloppy, that they're turning the ball over, that everything else that we said. But if you just want to look at effort, that in itself told enough of the story.
Yeah. Do you know, I think that Johnny said something quick about this, about like the spark off the bench. Do you know who would have been like a really great player for this year's team that we're missing, that's currently playing basketball in a red jersey? Andre Curbelo.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone who could, like, drive the lane, even though he'll piss us off, and maybe he wouldn't shoot as many threes, but he would have been so great to actually, like, make an effort and go, like, actually not just, like, play on the perimeter. He would go into the lane.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this is definitely one of those, like, hindsight games.
Yeah.
This is also kind of a dunking on the people who said we're better off without Kofi. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I missed someone who we could just give the ball to and score automatically.
And dunk
like
on people.
Like, there were so many tweets of people being like, Danger's actually a better fit for this offense than Kofi. Like, I'm sorry. How about a 2-time All-American? That's a good fit for any offense. Like,
see, you're getting mad at people. So obviously, you're getting mad at people on Twitter. Like, Twitter's not a real place, as we've seen tonight. If you followed some of the stuff that went on Twitter tonight, you'll see that Twitter is not a real place, right? But that is still equally frustrating when you see some of the ridiculousness. But I think it's fans just wanting to make themselves feel better about us losing a 2-time All-American and, again, a recency bias of Danger putting up however many points and rebounds he did in that one non-conference game. But, yeah, that'd be nice to have a professional basketball player, Kofi Coburn, here right now. Probably would have made tonight a little bit less ouchy.
Yeah, it just hurts. And, I mean, it's tough. Like, when you lose a game, this is the worst loss in Illinois bragging rights history. We lost by 22, and I think 18 was the largest loss beforehand. Like, I always struggle with not trying to point the blame too much at the players. And when you lose, all you want to do, like, players, coaches, whatever, it's just we're all just trying to cope here. It fucking sucks. It sucks. And you want a happy Christmas. You don't want to think about how Illinois just lost another heartbreaking rivalry game. And now at least we have a bowl game to look forward to. But why can't we just beat this team? Why?
You know what is kind of, not to add insult to injury, but we play Bethune-Cookman next. And we go to Northwestern. And Northwestern is playing surprisingly, like, very good, very solid defense. I think they're like 9th in net or KenPom, which is just like, I feel like the worst time to have a bye game like that you need to find a way to win.
Did you just call that a bye game?
It's not a bye game now.
Do you know
who is one spot below Eastern Illinois in KenPom?
Is it Iowa?
No.
Who?
Bethune Cookman. Yep.
Okay. that's a recipe for disaster.
I saw that tonight because I was like, we deserve, like, probably, like, after all those troll tweets we had last night, all of Illini Nation and our what Illini Twitter is the exact opposite as it was 24 hours ago. But we deserve a spanking, and we hopefully got it today and not in a week from now when we're playing a team ranked, I think, 344 in KenPom. But yikes. We should dominate them. We should obviously cover, and we should not – well, we probably won't cover because we stink right now, but we shouldn't get beaten by them. But dang, we deserve
it. We should not get beaten by Bethune Cookman. Can we go back, I guess, a little bit to the blame game thing? And maybe this is because I just, like, I never played a team sport. I guess help me quantify this a little bit. Like when Illinois is, like, shooting just like shit and their effort is terrible – like, what's the fix, right? Like, is it just play better? Is it coach different? Like, I ask that as a genuine question to someone who didn't play team sports, who didn't play basketball, who didn't play collegiate sports, of like, what is the fix in that instance? And I get it that maybe the whole yelling thing of Brad just getting on his guys works every once in a while, but maybe right now it's wearing a little bit thin. And I know a lot of the guys played it off as like, hey, we're a tight team. Like, we can take that kind of coaching. There's nothing going on. But I ask this as like a genuine open question. It's like, what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's understanding the pulse of your team and how to motivate them to be like truly focused and locked in practice. I mean, Brad talked about before the Penn State game, like he said to another coach, Terrence is going to have a terrible game against Penn State. Like, he's going to be terrible. And he was. And like, he noticed that at practice, he was not locked in. He wasn't focused. And at a certain point, it's like, okay, you can clearly identify this, but like, how do you re-engage this player? And I think it's just, there have been so many times, whether it's out of bounds plays or sometimes set plays in the half court, where guys just are making like dumb mistakes because they're not focused. And I don't quite have a solution, as not someone who's like coached any sports really, but like,
yeah, you football, yeah. you guys got a little football coaching experience. I mean there were and nights like this, again, are just brutal on Twitter because the overreactions go crazy. You know, people calling like Brad Underwood a JUCO coach, and like people being like, "Oh, that Brad Underwood." Like, all right, the guy has won more Big Ten games like than anyone in the last couple of years. Like, there is not ever one single thing that can ever happen in one game that can ever throw away the entire body of work that any coach has ever done when it's a good body of work, right? But that's what fans do, and sometimes it's hard to cut through a lot of that BS. It's nights like this that are, oh my God, Brad doesn't know how to coach, JUCO coach.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, your point's so true. We had won the most Big Ten games for like a 3-year stretch, and there's a lot of credit that goes to Brad for that. I think Tyler Cottingham had an interesting tweet, which he said like, this is the first time he's ever seen a team like truly quit
150 games.
Yeah.
So
hopefully it's the one out of 150 and it's the recency bias, but hopefully it's not the like, oh, they also were sluggish against Penn State. Oh, they also let Alabama A&M go on what, like a 14-0 run. Like, hopefully it's not a what's happening this season like we saw happen at Bruce Weber teams over the years. And it's a, I don't know, Brad figures it out in the extended break and we're able to just get the guys going.
Yeah, I am.
Maddie,
go ahead.
For the real life example of like right now what's happening with coaching, like Shauna Green has turned around.
Yes.
I love it.
Has used pretty much the exact same team plus two transfers from her old, like where she was at Dayton.
Yeah.
And has turned around this team into like an insanely different team. That team won 9 Big Ten games over 5 seasons, and they've only won one so far, but they've beaten like Mizzou, which was a receiving votes team at the time. Like, she completely turned around. It's all about pressing the right buttons, I guess, and having a scheme that works for the players that you have. And right now, and it is recency bias, I will admit that it is, it's right, whatever's going on is not working. And that it has, I don't think you just like leave what's going on like the same and it'll eventually work itself out. It has to be changed.
Yeah. And I mean, they have a much older team than we do. A lot of those players have been around for several years. Again, I'm not trying to find excuses. I'm trying to find maybe reasons why it's
right.
Going to get better of like, all right, are we just seeing a lack of leadership because they're all freshmen and none of the transfers have stepped up? And then once this team clicks in 2 months from now and someone decides to be a leader and the freshmen are, you know, 70% of their way through their freshman season, it looks a little bit different, right? Like, was tonight a growing pains game? You're right. Coaching, we probably underrate coaching. I know there's like the classic like coaching versus stars thing in college and especially in college football. But you're right, Josh. Like, she's pushing the right buttons. Fine.
Pros and Joes. No, what is it?
It's not about the X's and O's. It's about
Joes.
The Jimmys and Joes.
Jimmys and Joes. That's what I'm...
My favorite Alana people on Twitter right now are the, oh, when Luke Goody comes back, everything will be fine.
I did
people.
Say that.
I almost tweeted that tonight, Johnny, that tonight. but then I took my hands off the keyboard.
I would say there's been like there are like people who are so serious about that, even though the entire offseason they're like, oh, Matt Meyer, Terrence Shannon. No one was talking about Luke Goody until he hasn't been playing, and they're like, okay, guys, once he comes back, everything's going to be fine.
Well, I think
no,
think
I'm not.
Well, because they didn't think we'd shoot 9% from exactly. three this season.
I think they're all seeing him just like coach it up on the sideline and just like be an active voice besides everyone else who's like kind of sitting and slumping. And they're seeing him just like talk it up and be like, look, he's like definitely the chemistry guy. He's going to come in, change it all up. Everyone's going to click once he's on the floor. But right now he's not. So we got to work on it.
Yeah, I'm just so confused because RJ was better than him last year. And RJ was pretty good in spot minutes last year. And now you just have not seen any improvement. And maybe that's what I'm expecting from Goody is like a similar trajectory, but I don't know, maybe just RJ benefited a lot from when you're on the court with Kofi Coburn, like all the defenses are not keyed in on you. They're keyed in on the All-American and they're keyed in on Trent Frazier and Plummer and all those guys. But
you know, that meme with like the Grim Reaper where it's like he goes knocking to each door and there's the blood.
Yeah.
I feel like the bad Twitter take version of that is first, like, our offense is better without Kofi. Star J is going to go off this year, something else. And now it's like Luke Goody is going to save this team.
You forgot the Coleman leap. You forgot Coleman's taking
the Yeah, no, you forgot. Coleman. Just to add to the Coleman, it's like point forward, Coleman Hawkins.
There's probably not enough doors for every take.
Lieb is
the ultimate stretch five.
The old, ends up, you know, was the protege when Kofi was there. Yes,
he had to go against him every day in practice.
Every day in practice.
Well, good thing we have Zachary Perrin now. We have
imagine your first locker room experience after a game with Brad is just whatever he's doing right now in that locker room.
Booking a direct flight to France.
Yep, I'm done with that. I'm taking my 200K contract that I was promised.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, yeah. Again, I am not trying to find excuses. I'm trying to find ways to not cry on this podcast is what I'm trying to do. Who's going to step up and be a leader, right? You got freshmen. You got transfers. Who's going to step up and be a leader? Does anyone want to be a leader? Oh, did you just do the – which one of you guys tweeted the fart noise tweet? That was doing numbies, but not in a good way.
Me.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
Wait, It's doing numbies. It looks like it's a comment, but Elon changed it up. And sorry if Elon's going to ban us now because he almost did it last week. But like the views thing just doesn't like work with me.
I kind of
like it.
I kind of like it actually. It's cool. You have like a tweet, and in like 4 minutes, 1,000 people have seen your tweet. Like that's kind of cool.
But like I don't care about other accounts. I only care about mine. And you can do that with the view analytics.
I don't know what to tell you, man. You can bring it up the shareholders meeting next month.
Oh, I just got my alarms. Everyone cancel FUBU.
Oh.
Oh, we
thank you for that. Shit. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to find like, again, reasons to believe that, you know, it's going to be okay, that Daddy Brad is going to save us, that the freshmen are going to be freshmen with, you know, a season under their belt, you know, come March, that the transfers will click, and that the whole rumors, the whole rumbling is about, you know, some internal schisms going on within the locker room between the players and the coaches isn't true. I know there was some reporting on it last week, and some of the players kind of dragged some of those tweets a little bit. But I think it's a fair question to ask, right? I think it's a fair question to ask at this point.
Yeah,
absolutely. It does not seem like there is any cohesive energy. The Mizzou reporters were actively tweeting tonight, like on how like the Illinois players were like definitely beefing with each other. Like our reporters would never do such a thing. They would never actively do it and say anything mean about our players. But the Mizzou, like I think it was Dave Matter said, I'm not gonna look it, but he was like saying like these guys were getting in dust ups with each other.
Ooh, just
yeah, I
mean,
the only positive takeaway is, I don't know, I'm looking back at that 2019-20 team and seeing, okay, we lost 90-69 against Arizona. We also lost 76-56 at Michigan State right before we went on a big run. which I know that's a long time from now or a long time ago, but I think it's time to maybe recalibrate expectations to say, hey, maybe this team isn't winning the Big Ten, but we would love to see this team be like a tournament team that can make noise. And it's like, even teams like that, that team was what, going to be a 6 seed or a 7 seed before COVID. Like, they had a couple of really awful losses. Now, did it ever look this bad? And did it ever feel like there was as much like internal rife? No, but Brad Underwood's done it before. He's done it not only at Illinois, Oklahoma State, Stephen F. Austin, like
JUCO coach. Yeah. He said it at JUCO.
Yeah.
I need to find that tweet. That's brutal.
Okay, wait, I have a question.
Go ahead.
And Monday we won't be ranked. Like, pretty sure we won't be ranked.
Bummer.
We have a tune-up game before the rest of the Big Ten play starts, which we're already 0-2 in. We have good wins against Texas, and we have a good win against UCLA. What do we have another good win? Like a resume win? I'm trying to think.
I mean, your other non-conference win was Syracuse, which you won by.
Okay, you have Syracuse. But, yeah. Yeah, okay. So
Hawkins triple double.
Yeah. We have 18 games after this tune-up game next week. What do we have to go to not be worried about the bubble?
It's a great question.
I think it's too early to tell just because you don't know exactly what the Big Ten is going to be. Purdue obviously looks like they're going to be a wagon. Indiana.
So like we don't have as of right now, and that could change next week. We don't have a bad loss, which is great for our resume.
Tonight is probably considered. I don't know if it's considered a bad loss, but it's not.
At the end of the day, I think it's going to be like I think it's going to be a quad one loss.
Oh, I guess, is it top?
Because it's neutral 50.
Yeah, top 50.
Yeah. It's at worst quad two loss.
Fine.
Yeah, it's not bad in that sense. Obviously, losing by 20-something is bad. I would say you probably need to go 12-8 in the Big Ten to be pretty confident about making the tournament.
Like, that's definitely in. That's 100%. I think to not be worried, well, yeah. Yeah, that. Like, a bubble team is probably, like, 9-11.
Usually 10 does it. It's a bad Big Ten, so, like, I don't...
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of that.
Yeah. So you're saying, like, the top 7 are, like, probably in, but not much more after it?
Yeah. It's, you could get, like, 10 teams who win 9 Big Ten. I don't know.
Yeah, if you win 9 and then you have to go on, like, a little run in the Big Ten tournament. Oh, I hate... Oh.
Yeah.
I don't, this is what a bad loss
Has
like
a
this
team
does.
Ever... Okay. I do think we're probably forecasting out a little bit too far, but those words make me shudder, having to make a run in the Big Ten tournament. Like, no team ever makes a run in the – no team has ever needed to – except for Michigan. The year when they had the plane crash and they wrecked us in the first round of the Big Ten tournament. No team has ever, quote, needed a run in the Big Ten tournament and, quote, made a run in the Big Ten tournament. What you do is you, like, you win your, like, 11-14 matchup and then you lose to 30 by Iowa the next night. That's what happens when you need a run in the Big Ten.
What was it that Brad Evans said when he joined us? He said, like, nothing's really changed in the – oh, no, nothing changes as of the Big Ten championship game. Like, that doesn't change anything. Mm-hmm. But you could still make a run. Really. You could still make a run and impact your seeding.
Yeah, Josh, now that you mentioned it, though, it's like – immediately looking at the Big Ten schedule and trying to count the wins and trying to get the 12 wins. And like, I'm looking at it and there's so many toss up games. Like,
wait,
not doing this.
Wait, Johnny, what was my first on the first podcast this season? What was my goal? Like, just enjoy each night. Enjoy.
Yeah, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. This is going to be a
recalibrate.
And there's part of me that wants to be like, you know what? Recalibrating expectations. That's not so bad. You know, we got freshmen that are going to be here for possibly 2, 3, 4 years. You know, we're fine. We're building a program. And then there's also part of me that's like, we got the best transfer. We got Terrence Shannon. We got Matt Meyer. Like, you know, this is supposed to be a program that can roll consistently. I'm like, no, I don't want to have to recalibrate expectations. Like, no, I don't.
Exactly. Like exact same thing in football of – 8 wins was an awesome season, but also when you're 7-1 and all you have to do is beat Michigan State and Purdue at home to win a Big Ten West title, you're like, wow. Or really, it was just the Purdue game to win a Big Ten West title, but like, you could have won 10 games. It just hurts. Like, as great as it is to be a consistent contender, these games still really hurt and it's still not fun. And now thinking about football too, Ryan Walters is gone. Kane is gone. Corey Patterson is gone.
This is catastrophizing. Yeah, yeah. Johnny, all right, I'm going to need to Johnny later. Okay. God, it's going to be a long night now. It's like, you know, it's like as I look outside, the wind is whipping. It's like snowing. It's like literally minus 40. It's like peak seasonal affective disorder season. Like, guys, I can't wait until like July where we're going to be drinking beer on a patio. We're going to be joking about this night. You know, start of the championship DVD. You know, that 22-point bragging rights loss. We're all going to be joking about it. And
see, usually when I think of July in Illinois sports, I'm thinking about how we're watching the TBT and being way too invested in it because our season was disappointing.
And you're waiting to see who's going to be 78th on the 90 Illini. Like,
yes,
you're refreshing to see if Jake Cerny made the cut this year.
Dark, dark days. And tonight's a dark night.
Dark days, dark nights. Yeah, this was a tough one, but I don't know. We're laughing. I mean, Johnny and I, we're not laughing during the game. At least we're laughing now during this recording here. You guys have anything else, Josh, Sam, anything else?
No, that's it for me. Really sad night. Really sad night.
I know, Josh, when we talked about recording, you said, I don't have anything constructive, but I feel like this was pretty constructive here. I think we maybe recalibrated expectations.
Well,
we talked about winning the next 18 games in the Big Ten.
Yeah. The one way to not make it to leave non-constructive, or is it unconstructive thoughts, whatever I want it to be, unconstructive thoughts out of this podcast is don't single out any player and just talk about it at like a general level, because then I get mean and I don't want to be mean. So I didn't do that and I'm happy about it.
Don't be mean. I think those are nice words here to take into the holidays. I do.
Sam, any closing thoughts?
Sorry, I was on mute. It's a long season. I was done after 2019 bragging rights. I was livid. We went to overtime against Nicholls State. We found a way, so who knows?
Remember that Allen technical during bragging rights? That was kind of awesome.
That was awesome. That was one of the technicals I approve of.
Yeah. He was like the only one who wanted to be chippy. Like, go for it, Allen. Yeah. But Maddie, what were you going to say? I cut you off there.
No, I didn't let Sam finish there. I apologize. I was just going to wish all of Illini Nation the sincerest Merry Christmas, and like, don't be mean to your families. They don't care as much as we do about, you know, Illinois sports. They actually do love you and they want to spend time with you this Christmas. So I know that's hard for us to actually fathom, but thanks for listening, everyone. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we'll catch you on the next episode.